Lord, thank you for opening it up on us today. Lord, thank you for your anointing. Lord, thank you for this wonderful oil that just is dripping. Lord, it is upon your vessels. Lord, thank you that you have brought us to be in tune. And Lord, thank you that you put in our hearts expecting, that we're expecting you. That when we behold you, when we hold you. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that it's alive, Lord God. Thank you this morning. I believe, God, you've given us a glimpse. You gave us a glimpse. Help us to see it. Lord, let us just feast on you this morning. Thank you again for your faithfulness. Thankful again for what you're preparing to present to yourself. And we're here. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Open your Bibles to the wonderful book of Esther. And just grateful to God. Every time I mentioned on Friday, every time he brings you into the Word of God, but especially through this portion of Scripture, it's just always more and more and more and more. The Word's alive. Nothing like it. Nothing compares. But I was thinking about this sweet sister, and the Lord really just sparked my heart. Honey, here's what she means to you and represents to you. And what he's showing us here is the core and the essence of our heart. See, this is the Word that's in us. You understand this. This, you don't live anymore. Christ lives in you. The Word lives in you. And what's being revealed to us is this Word that is our life and the fullness of it that lives in you. And coming to that awareness that it is the entirety, that it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That by the grace of God, that this life of Christ would grow to the fullness, meaning to that measure and stature and the fullness of him. That we would grow up fully, completely into a perfect man, him. Amen? This is what this is all about. And what am I describing? It's the Word. Everything about this is the Word. This isn't something that we're thinking about that's afar off. It's right here, and it's here. Praise the Lord. So we're feasting upon, praise God, this life that lives in us to grow up in the awareness of who and what we are. And truly, this story, as the Lord brings us into this fellowship, this is the core and the essence of the heart of God that he's given us. This is what God divinely ordered and appointed, divinely knew, brothers and sisters, and think of this, divinely knew what we would take from him. Praise the Lord. Aren't we thankful? Like I said, we didn't understand it. We didn't know. We were just going out for a drink of water. And I think about that, and I thought about how sweet that was. And what that is, brothers and sisters, is I'm sure most know, that's Rebecca at the well. She wasn't going out there to meet anybody. She was going out there to get some water. But she was called out there. And it was at a perfect time. It was for a perfect purpose. It was exact, and it was only her. It was that intimate, and it was about one thing, marriage. It wasn't a ramping up, and we're going to see it today. It was immediate. It was immediate, and that's the truth. So stay with that thought as the Lord puts that on your heart. But he knew what we would believe him for in his Word. He knew the depth by the grace of God that we would take, that we would run with, and that we would run with to attain and to rule and to reign with Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. We thank God that he gave us all grace. We took all grace. The Lord, by grace, has caused us to apply it all the time. And we're encouraged, no matter what we face, no matter what we've done, we go on to take the place that he says, I've predestinated for you. Oh, yes, he has. Oh, yes, he has. From beginning, absolutely, in love, foreknowledge, just praise God, the waiting, abiding, thankful. How patient our Lord is to have us. God, help me to have that patience to want to have you. But that's what he's predestinated for us. You think about our lives. I think all of us can say he's made the way out of the no way. Amen? Oh, yes, he has. And all we stand before him and say, but God. Isn't that beautiful? The way out of the no way, but God. David Coe gave a sweet little message on Friday about Jesus being led out by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And everything was, oh no, it is written. It is written. And for us, praise God, it is written. But I thank the Lord, my life is just a bunch of, but God. Every time that this enemy comes at me, tries to say, ah, see, there's just no way. Sometimes he says it personally through me. Sometimes he might even use a vessel to bring it to me. There's just no way. And I thank God. All I can say is, but God. See, there's something about but God. You know what that's followed by? In his great love wherewith he loved me. That just settles it. See, God loves you. And he loves you with that immensity of love that he's revealed to you that you said, yes, Lord. Praise God. Okay, let's get on with this story today. We'll begin from chapter 1, verse 19. It says, if it please the king, let there be a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes that it be not altered. That Vashti come no more before the king Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. So we're set up in this story by the grace of God. We see that there was a queen. She didn't want that place anymore. So she was going to be replaced. And so jump on over to chapter 2, verse 8, or verse 5, excuse me. Now in Shushan, the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter. So see, Mordecai and her were cousins. For she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace, to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house, to the custody of Haggai, keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her, oh my, her things for purification, which such things as belonged to her, and seven maidens which were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. I'll go ahead and turn the page, and we'll go on over to chapter 2, verse 15. This, I'll tell you what, the Lord's after you. This happens real fast. You blink, you'll miss it. You just got to go. We didn't even get out of chapter 2. Look what's going down now. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus, into his house, royal in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women. And she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So that He set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king made a great feast unto all his princes and his servants, even Esther's feast. And he made a release of the provinces and gave gifts according to the state of the king. Praise God. Now, go on over to chapter 5. Reading from verse 1. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in his royal house over against the gate of the house. And it was so when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, "What wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be even given thee to the half of the kingdom." What he says there to her, what's mine is yours. Everything of mine is yours. Before she ever spoke a word. And he tells her here. And it was just because he loved her. And he saw her. And he desired. Now let's keep going. And Esther answered, she says, "If it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him." Then the king said, "Cause Haman to make haste, and that he may do as Esther has said." So the king and Haman came to the banquet and that Esther had prepared. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, isn't that beautiful? "What is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even to half of the kingdom it shall be performed." Not just given, but done. What's mine is yours is done. Now we'll go ahead and stop there for right now. And we're going to just ask the Lord, even so, come, Jesus. Amen. But what we have here in this beautiful story is we have this orphan girl. And she finds herself in her cousin's keeping. And it's at a precise time that the kingdom and the king is seeking out a new queen. And it just so happens that she has a cousin named Mordecai that encourages her and says, "Let it be you. This isn't let's give it a shot. This is let it be you." Mordecai tells her, when you go in there before him too, this is before this even transpires. He says, "I'll tell you what. I know that there's a keeper of the women. His name's Haggai. You don't take one thing less or one thing more. You only take what he gives you." So that was the instruction that was already given to her. It was pure, it was exact, it was precise. There wasn't anything else. It's known to us as Paul's gospel. There isn't any other gospel. There isn't any more, there isn't any less. And this is what you take, and you take it from the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you what, that's the whole key to it all. Now she goes in there, and we thank God she trusts the keeper of the women, this Haggai. She takes nothing more. She takes nothing less. She trusts him. And again, she trusts him so much that she's going to have everything to meet the king with full favor. So believing all of that instruction, adhering to that instruction, she realizes she can't really bring anything of herself. So she has to just go in there with what she's been given and that she's supplied. Now, what happens immediately to her? She gets all favor. It was right on the mark. There wasn't anything missing. It almost seemed too simple. It's like, so you're telling me I just show up, I take everything that's given to me, and then I just give it back. That's all I do. I apply it to my life, and I come in there with it, and here it is. I brought in nothing. You gave everything, and this is going to be it. This is the mark. This is the prize. Oh, yes, we know it was, and we know it is. She found full favor. It was known to her immediately that the king and his love for her exceeded all the other women. All the other women and all the other virgins. All those that were trying to, again, have that. It was her. And brothers and sisters, I can say this for you. You know you're his favorite. Do you know that? That is the truth. Praise God, it's because of the grace of God that's with you. It's, again, you just went out to get a glass of water. He had something completely different in mind. It was his best. You think about where he meets us with that. And I don't know if all of you can remember when it really hit the epiphany, the light. I'm talking about the enlightened eyes of understanding. When you knew he wanted to marry you. I've said it many times. I wasn't going to marry Jesus that night. I was going to dance. I was going to be whatever I was going to be that night. But the Lord had an appointment for me. And before I ever got to my hand on that door in that parking lot, I was on my knees. I was right here. I was right there. And I was standing before him. Now, what happens is you know you're his favorite, and that's the bride. And what happens is, not only do you get the crown, not only does it make you a queen, he makes that feast and he shows you in your name and in your honor that you're it. That you're it. Now, I want you to think about that because it's that way with the Word of God. When we're brought into the whole counsel of God, when the Lord introduces Paul's gospel to us, immediately he assures us that you're it. It's not a ramp up. It really isn't, brothers and sisters. I'm finding out more and more with the Lord. I know we talk about courtship, but it's not a courtship. I don't believe I see that any longer. I see it's his favor. And I thank God it's known immediately. I'm talking immediately. And he assures us immediately that we're it. I already mentioned Rebecca at the well. There wasn't a ramp up. She went out there to get that water. It was a specific appointment. There is the servant for the master. He's got the rings. I mean, he's got the earrings. He's got the bracelets. He's got the message. He's got everything of the master in his hands. And he gives it to her immediately. There wasn't a ramp up. Amen? How about Ruth in the field? What do you think about that? There she is, going out to glean. I think we need to eat. I'm going to get in here. Immediately, Boaz sees her in that field and immediately says, "You let her glean only in my field." It was immediate. It didn't take time. You're mine. How about this one? How long did it take David to desire Bathsheba? Oh, don't get self-righteous on me now. I believe she became queen, did she not? Huh? It took one moment on a rooftop, bring her to me. Huh? One moment. And that's how God has done it with us. And the Lord is just, he comes at you in full force. You see this. This is us. This is what's written in us. It's just to respond. And say, "Thank you, Lord." This isn't a story. This isn't some purpose that it was written for literature. This wasn't something that we just go in to discuss to, you know, try to cerebrally understand. This is the Word of God. And this is it says in the Word, it says that our lives, we live by the faith of the Son of God. That faith that comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We live by that faith of the Son of God. This is our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the same Jesus that says, it's the Father's will that will be done. Thanks be to God. That's the word of God. That's what lives in us. That's what by his grace he will fulfill. And I thank the Lord. He gives us that enlightened eyes. And he gives us the faith by his grace to say, Lord, this is mine. I thank God. I don't just see this as a story. I don't just see this as encouragement. I see this, praise the Lord. You're revealing the heart that you've given me for you. You've revealed my life and my, basically my whole journey. It's in type and shadow and metaphor. This is exactly what you've appointed me to. And I thank God, yes, there was all of this encouragement, had a godly family and all these different things that were going on. But it was that pow moment. It was that moment. You thought you were coming out for this. This is what I'm after, son. This is what my grace has determined. This is what my grace has chosen. Do you believe that every one of these sisters that I've mentioned here, whether it's Rebecca, whether it's Esther, whether it's Ruth, whether it was Bathsheba, was it all not the grace of God that chose them? Did they go out? Were they mapping out their own way? Were they out there in their accord saying, hey, look, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to be seen. This is what I'm going to go ahead and take. Not a one of them. Not a one. Esther, an orphan, she had no idea. Ruth, man, Shoot, everybody's died around me. I better get back. We got to at least eat. I'll go back and I'll call your people my people. It's a wonderful thing. And you think about Rebecca, again, a sweet young woman. There she was out, just going out to get water for everybody. Isn't that beautiful? No idea what was going to meet her. And then, yes, I'll throw in my precious sister Bathsheba. And there's one exact mark for each one of them. All the lineage. The beautiful thing is they all are the mark for the prize that the Lord has put in us. That's who lives in you. Remember you died? Nevertheless, I live, but yet who lives in you? Christ. Who's Christ? Here he is, right here. He's the Word. How much are you going to be aware of how much it lives in you? I want the fullness of all of it flowing out like a fountain in me. And thank the Lord, just like these sisters, they were unaware. Just completely oblivious in a lot of ways. And then the Lord, he shines that light and you say, oh my goodness, I've hit the mother lode. I'm walking in it. I've heard this. They've spoken about it. But Lord, you brought it to my reality. And saints, I'm telling you, my family, if you're waiting for him to ramp it up, you're missing it. He's already given it to you. And you know this. He has. And it's time just to tell him, thank you. You've given it all. I'm here. Thank you, Lord. You've kept me in this. I'm still hearing it. This is mine. This is for me. Now, I'll tell you what, even though Esther, she knew, didn't she? How could she not know? She knew she was loved more than them all. I think that was everything right there. But you know how Jesus does, gave her the crown, right? The feast, isn't that something? All of that place, made her queen. But yet she still comes in. And even though receiving all of that, what does she ask him for? What is on her heart? If you know the story, what she's doing is she's coming in for the people of Israel. She's coming in for the Jews, and she wants to spare their lives, all right? And she wants them to be saved, yes. It's a noble request, but the king really isn't interested in that, is he? No, he's not. What's he interested in? It's her. Everything else going to be an after effect. Did the king save the multitude? Yes, he did. Is the king going to save the multitude? Yes, he will. What's it about right now? It's about my pearl of great price right now. It's about the wife for the Lamb of God right now. And you know what? He'll take care of everything else. He'll take care of the multitudes. See, that was the same thing about Martha. Martha was going to take care of the multitude of her house. I'm going to care for everybody. Mary, you should be about this too. You should be out here doing the mission work with me. You should be out here caring for everybody else. And Jesus just, he stopped that. He shut that down right away. You're encumbered. Don't you bother her. She's after me. She's after my heart. She's mine. And here we are. And again, think of your life story that put you at the feet of Jesus. Your life story that how many times did you tell him, I don't want this life? How many times have you thought, I don't want to be like me, or I don't want to be like this? But exactly like you are is what brought you to that foot. Amen. That brought you to that place. Truly, I can hear my brother say, you get it now. Where else can we go? It's just appointed to us. What does the predestination of God mean to you?
Everything.
Yes, everything. Doesn't it? Yeah. It's that fixed. It's that definite. It won't be changed. He's God. He's God and he knows. Now, brothers and sisters, the king knew from the beginning it was Esther. Amen? Yes, he did. And it was all about one thing, having her. And more importantly, I've got you. You're mine. Now, but she really doesn't get it. Before she goes in asking him something that he's far less concerned about, that he's going to take care of perfectly. But it takes that meeting that she's going to go in there, and it's a big thing, Lord. You need to take care of the Jew. But it was all an appointment for her to finally really understand. Amen. It's all yours because you're it. Thinking how many times I came to church and how many times did he tell me it's all yours and you're it. But there was always something else that I thought I was coming to church for. I always thought I was coming to receive that or get this or pray for that and all that. And he's always told me, but I didn't really hear him till now, honey, I'll take care of all that. But this is why we're here. I'll take care of the multitude. I'll take care of the multitude of cares of your life. I just don't want you to be encumbered, honey. I don't want you to enter into that. And I really was thinking is how the God's brought us here today, saints. Just a handful. And a handful online. Thank you, Jesus. But we're here. And he brought us here for a specific purpose, because this is the word that works effectually in them that believe. In a power and a dynamite. And the thing I've realized and I recognize now, and I thank the Lord, which is his testimony. Remember, if you have any testimony, it's always his. It's got to be him. If it's you, you're just pounding sand. But I'm realizing that it's this word that's becoming made manifest in my life. I see it alive. I see it real. I see all the metaphor of who Christ in me, the hope of glory, is. And that's us. That's us. But he's brought us here today, didn't he? And thanks be to God. We might have come in here for a lot of different purposes this morning. A lot of different ones. But the one purpose that mattered was him. Amen? And remember why he brought you here. It's all yours. And you're it. You think it's time? Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to stand. We'll worship the Lord. Come on down. I appreciate it. Sisters, come on up and sing. I love to hear that song. Last week we were worshiping so much, I don't think you can navigate to the podium to sing. But come and worship him today. What a mighty time it is. Let's pray and bow our heads. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. We so appreciate your care for us. Lord, thank you for this love that you continue to impress upon our hearts. Lord, thank you that you divinely let us know that we are your desire. And there's no doubt about it, Lord Jesus. Lord, let it consume us. Let it just, again, take over every thought. Let us just be drawn to it, Lord God, in such a thanksgiving. Let it transform our lives, Lord God, from glory to glory. Let us be a joyful vessel unto God. Lord, let us give you praise for all the kisses that you give us of your lips. And Lord, we thank you today. We give you all the praise and the glory. And Lord, we do. We want to see you. We want to behold you. Thank you for everything that has been said and done, because you have been exalted in you alone. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.